Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Paul Hamilton.
About ABBA that just makes you feel better, by golly. Jeremy's out this week, Sal filling in, and we're taking your calls on the Sabres. If there's something else you want to get to, by the way, that's fine. 803-0550. But how you feeling going into the offseason? You want to give your opinion on the coach search and whatever else we've covered in the first hour? That's that it would be hunky-dory. Paul is brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Good morning, Paul Hamilton. How are you?
I'm well. How is everybody?
Good, Paul. Just kind of plodding along here. In mid-March,
we're waiting in the Jack Eichel presser, Paul. We're wondering, do you want to be here? Be the first question?
Oh yeah,
or
we
the
do
second question.
Over under? How many questions in? I mean, it is going to be asked, right, Paul?
I think. What are you doing with your neck? Is the first question.
One? Yeah, the injury situation.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Good call.
Ease your way into. Hey, we're glad your neck's okay. Do you want to be here with your healthy neck, or would you like to take your healthy neck to another city? Actually, it's on my list of things to get to with you, sir. In mid-March, it was a very dark place for Sabre fans. How should they feel about their team now?
I think they should be encouraged. I mean, a lot of young players that in some cases appeared that they were never going to catch on in the NHL, all of a sudden looked to be big pieces for the Buffalo Sabres. You know, Casey Mittelstadt, the rebound that you saw in Joakim Harju and Dahlin and Thompson and Asplund and just right down the line, now all of a sudden it's, these guys look to be a part of it and a big part of it. And yes, changes need to be made. There's no question. But maybe there's not as many changes that need to be made as we first thought, because you're going to be able to count on some of these guys. So I think that's the biggest take out of it. And, of course, the biggest, the two priorities right now starting off for the season are going to be finding the right coach, number one. Whether it's Don Granato, who certainly, yes, I think should be the lead candidate, but I don't think, they shouldn't be saying right now that he's the coach. I think they still should do the extensive search and the interviews that they were planning on doing. I think it's too important not to do that. So, I think that needs to be done. And, of course, what are you going to do with Linus Ullmark before the July 28th free agency? When he becomes an unrestricted free agent, are you going to be able to sign him to a contract, or is he going to become an unrestricted free agent?
Paul, we were talking about Granato, and I wanted to ask you this, and I'll reiterate that I don't mean this as a slap to Granato. It's more about the guy he succeeded than his own work. When it comes to the improvements and what we saw in the games under Granato, and you touched on a little bit, a number of young players played much better or began to show some life, whatever. How much of that improvement, I mean, is it legit? How much of that was any coaching change? There would have been an improvement because it was such a bad fit. And or season's over, games are, they're playing loose, doesn't matter, so of course they're going to look like they're better.
Yeah, they're playing loose. There's no question about that. But don't discard the effect that Matt Ellis and Dan Girardi had on this team also. I've always felt that Matt Ellis was going to be an assistant coach and an excellent one. I didn't think he was going to start right with the Buffalo Sabres. I figured, you know, he'd become an assistant coach with the Amerks and then move his way that way. But you could see it all along. I mean, even those August workouts where the Sabres can't be involved in it, but he wasn't a Sabre employee. He was an employee of Harbor Center. So he would put the team, the guys who showed up early and skating over there, he would put them through the paces and really did good work with them and good workouts. And you could just see he had coach written all over him. Or whether in training camp when they would have him come in and do some workouts with the guys skating and skill drills and that type of thing. It just was so evident he was going to be a coach. And Girardi, you know, coming in, he's only been retired since 2019. So the players respect that he just was on the ice. Most of them played against him, you know, so they know he's in tune with today's game and what's going on with today's game. And, you know, him helping Yoki Haru and him helping Dahlin and helping Bryson come into the league and Samuelson just coming into the league from the American League. Colin Miller, I think, was better, under Granato and Girardi than he was before. And I saw an improvement in him, too. So it wasn't just the young players who were improving. I saw other guys improve, too.
So, having said all of that, and I know you mentioned they should still go through a coach search. I know you're not. I'm not asking you to predict this because you don't like predictions. But there's there would be a long list of positives to keep Granato, and that includes the assistants because of everything you just said. Do you think that's the best move for the Sabres? What should they do?
Tell me if Brind'Amour is available or if he does.
Doesn't sound like he will be.
Yeah, sounds like that he might not be, but. That's the thing. Who's going to become available that is a surprise?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what we don't know about. He would be the surprise that would make me change my mind. You know, if things with Carolina fall through, negotiations fall through, and he does wind up leaving the Hurricanes, I would change my mind in a second for that. I don't see another coach coming free in the NHL that could be a possibility that you'd say the same thing for. So that would be the one that would change my mind. I don't know if any other ones would. Rick Tocchet, no thanks. John Tortorella, great coach, has won a Stanley Cup. But, you know, teams he coaches, you know, it gets old. And you got players, and sometimes it's your best players who want out because they don't like his tactics, and that's happened to him also. So right now I don't know if I'd like to see that happen with the Sabres, that he come on board and some of the key guys say, yeah, no, mm-hmm. no, I don't want to be treated like this. And there's a method to his madness, sure. And he gets the most out of some players, sure.
But it seems like he's an acquired taste. And mm-hmm. right, isn't the book on him that the veteran players would tend to work out better with him and the younger guys, it's a little bit tougher for them to handle. This is still going to be a pretty young team next season.
Yeah, and it's different. Players are different in the last couple of years, the way they want to be handled. And, you know, a lot of young players get their feelings hurt now. And once they get their feelings hurt, all right, well, get me out of here then, you know, and that type of thing. So, that's exactly right, that he is an acquired taste. And I think Granato has shown the firm hand that these guys need and crave and are looking for. He challenges them, and they accept the challenge, and they move forward. So I think, you know, they found the right dose of we need to be more structure, we need to have more discipline, we need to have better practices, you know, the pay attention to detail type of thing.
Yeah.
That they seem to have gotten under Granato.
We were talking earlier, Paul, about how, you know, he seems like he obviously has the pulse of what he wants to do and, you know, how he wants to play, and that's great and it's working. However, does that change if you have more to lose, so to speak, right? I mean, does he it looks great right now, and it sounds great, and we all kind of, okay, yeah, this is what they need. But does he change his philosophy if now he's in a playoff race and he needs to get 2 points against the Bruins on a Wednesday night?
No, because I think he's setting them up to be that way already. As he said, everything he did this year was to the future, was to improve these players and this team for the future. So they're ready to get set up for games like that and things like that. So it's going, you know, it would be very difficult to take this team as is that we saw here in Pittsburgh on Saturday and say, here's your team. You're going to have these same guys. They really improved under you. Now go make the playoffs with them. No, that's not going to happen. There are still big improvements that need to be done to this lineup before they're going to be a playoff team, or, you know, a team that's not going to be closer to last place than they are the playoffs. So that's going to be on Kevin Adams to make those improvements. But, you know, it can't be these guys. Yeah, I think he's gotten pretty much all he's going to get out of these guys, this team as is. But, you know, there's always changes. I mean, you're never going to go into the next season with the exact same team that you ended this season with.
Paul with us on our Wester Hotline. You have any Sabres questions, comments, or opinions? We would love to hear from you, hockey fans. 803-0550. Jack Eichel. Right, Sal and I were also talking about that. I mean, you look at the list of things that Kevin Adams has this offseason. There are a number of things on it. You know, RFAs, UFAs. You know, you mentioned Ullmark, the coach search, the expansion draft protection list, the draft. Jack Eichel and what's going on with him. I'll start with this. Have you heard anything ever in terms of speculation, rumors, any whispers from the organization that Eichel is unhappy and has or would actually go and say, I think it's time for me to get out of here?
He has not, to my knowledge, and I have some pretty good sources that had gone to the Sabres and said, I want to be traded. That has not happened as far as I know. I'm not expecting that to happen today. I think we could get more clarity on his injury from him and maybe on Wednesday Kevin Adams. But I don't think Jack Eichel, even if he would like to be traded, and he has not stated that, would take it to the media. He doesn't want that played out in the media. If that was something he would desire, he would want that to be behind closed doors with him, his agent, Kevin Adams, and Terry and Kim Pegula. That's who he would want to speak to about it. He would not, nor would the Sabres, want that played out in the media. So I wouldn't expect him to say, now it's possible he could say, I really like what I've seen from Don Granato and I hope he gets the job and I'm really looking forward to playing for Don Granato and, you know, and being part of the solution. Now, if he feels very strongly about that, I could see him saying that, but I would be surprised if he would go through the media to say, I'm tired of this. I would like to be traded or anything like that. But I could see him, you know, because that's what Adam said from a time frame, that they're going to go to the beginning of May to see how things are. So I could see maybe some clarity on the injury.
Could you foresee, this is something that Sal and Brayton and I were just talking about at the end of the first hour, could you foresee a situation? It's one thing where, okay, maybe Eichel's not happy and he goes to the team and requests a trade. It happens. Could you foresee a situation where the Sabres as an organization decide on their own the best thing to do for whatever reason, the return, the cap space, whatever, they decide the best thing going forward is to trade Jack Eichel?
Yes. I mean, if they were to get an offer from a team that really would improve the team, that would get them the pieces that they think are necessary to make a Jack Eichel trade, which would be a lot of pieces.
Yep.
Yes, I could see them saying this is what's better for the franchise and we can get all these pieces for one player. Sure, we can get the $10 million off our salary cap and move forward depending on what players are making that you're going to get back. I don't think it would be acceptable just to get we want to trade them to the Kings, and they're going to send us their number one draft picks for the next 4 years type of, you know,
no
scenario.
Interest. Right. No interest in that.
Yeah, I don't think they would. That's not the trade I think they were looking for. That could be partially what they're looking for, but you know, they would be looking for more than that.
I'm trying to think how to phrase this next question. I'm gonna. Did you take any psychiatry or psychology courses at Iowa State?
I had to take classes there. I forgot.
You're an athlete. You didn't go to school there. You just played hockey. I forgot, Paul. Thank you for correcting me. No, I don't want to. I guess I'm asking you to try and figure out how Jack thinks. And I said to Sal, Paul, if I were Jack Eichel, I would go to management and say, get me the heck out of here. I mean, I would be at wit's end. There have been different GMs. There have been different coaches. There have been different players. You know, there was a year where they went to 24 playoff teams. We still didn't make the postseason. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of watching the playoffs on TV. Please trade me right now. Could you kind of get into his personality and tell me, you know, there were times where we would talk about, you could hear his frustration in post-game interviews and all that stuff. Do you think he would be at a point where he would say, yeah, I want to win, man, and this is enough?
Absolutely, he could say that. And after what he said last year, I think I might have mentioned to you, you know, all right, he's into it now. He wants to be part of the solution now. But if this happens again, in my mind, all bets are off. Huh. Well, it's happened again. The losing's worse.
Yeah.
And what changes, though, is, you know, he hasn't been asked about the coaching change. He's been injured.
Yeah.
And we don't talk to injured players. They're not given to us to speak with. So we don't know his opinions on that. If it were me, take him out of the equation, that would have been my plan up until Granato became the coach and I've seen what the team has done under Granato. And I say to myself, you know what? Dylan Cousins is the real thing, you know? And I could be center and Dylan Cousins could be the next center. And, you know, and I'm saying that knowing Reinhart could be a very good center, but you've got guys like who have really come to the table like Cousins and Mittelstadt. So you could, even though he's done very well at center, put Reinhart back to the wing.
Sure. On
because he has shown he can score at center. He had 10 points playing the center position since he was there. He had 9 at the wing, 10 at center. So he has shown he can produce at either position. So that's why I would put him back to the wing and go with the other centers. So he may say to himself, I like this. I think we can improve a lot with what I'm seeing with this coaching staff. I've been impressed by this. Personally, that would have been enough to change my mind. And it also helped from a selfish standpoint, it would behoove Eichel to wait another year if he does want to be traded, because then his partial no movement clause kicks in. And he can give the Sabres, I believe it's 10 teams that he doesn't want to be traded to. If he were to ask to be traded now, he could be traded anywhere and have no say in the matter.
All right, Mr. Hamilton, stay near your phone. We'll be in touch this week. You got a lot going on with all the Zoom calls. So.
Yep, it's today, tomorrow, Wednesday. So looking forward to it and looking forward
Paul,
to seeing
Paul, we won't talk with you before the schedule release. At least I don't think you're going to be. Maybe we will, Tuesday, Wednesday. Let me ask you, though, any prediction on what do you think, the Bills will open up with? You think they'll go to Tampa for that Thursday night opener?
Yeah, I've liked that since you guys have started talking about that, you know, and that's been a long time ago. I mean, you guys have been chatting about that. I've liked that scenario. It's you know, Brady coming, playing against the Bills again. They've certainly had enough primetime games against Brady over the years that you seem to be, well, we're going to play the Patriots again in prime time. Here we go. Type of thing. So I think that would be a juicy one for them. So I think they have there's a good chance that could possibly happen.
All right, Mr. Hamilton, thank you, sir, and have fun on all the Zoom calls.
I will. Take care, guys.
Paul segment brought to you by Equitable Advisors. By the way, Jack Eichel scheduled to talk to the media as one of the Zoom calls today that the players are doing around 11:10. Paul segment brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide and buy Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. 803-0550. How you feeling about the Sabres? What about the coach search? We're starting there in our Sabres offseason discussions. When we get back, though, Sal just mentioned the schedule. We're going to go heavy on that Wednesday to preview the schedule and Thursday to talk about the schedule as after it comes out Wednesday night. But I wanted to point out something about a dilemma, a little wrinkle in the schedule planning that the league is now dealing with. We'll get to that in a moment, and actually I'll have Sal address it because he talked to one of the guys who's involved in making the schedules recently, Mike North from the NFL. So we'll do that in a moment. Phone line's always open. Join us, WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Said that we do think that the Rangers have interest in Eichel, that they're a team that has made offers in the past, that has been interested in the past. I don't think this would change anything. I think if Eichel was available, I think the Rangers would still be interested, as would a lot of other teams. I think they definitely would be.
That is Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet, and that's from his most recent segment with the guys on The Instigators, which is Thursday mornings at 11 o'clock. And if you missed it, of course, it's available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. Jeremy's out this week. Sal filling in actually today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. And Sal, I got a schedule question for you. The schedule's the NFL schedule. It's coming out Wednesday night at 8 o'clock.
So and I have a and when you're done, I have another NFL media person who believes it could very well be Bills at Bucks on Thursday night.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out. We were talking about that last week. I don't have an answer yet on whether I like that or not.
Okay, go ahead.
Aaron Rodgers, I want to bring this up with you. You had Mike North on your podcast recently, and Wednesday, which I think will be really interesting. We're going to play some chunks of that interview back because it's interesting to hear about the schedule and what the Bills. Well, how many primetime games and national windows the Bills are going to be in. Anyway, long story short, we know what's going on in Green Bay, and Aaron Rodgers saw this note at ProFootballTalk.com. During the draft, the NFL ran a commercial to promote the May 12 schedule release. In there, it hyped Rodgers versus Mahomes. because Green Bay is playing Kansas City this season. There's a new version of the commercial is now out. There's no more Rodgers Mahomes. It's gone. They redid the commercial. It's now Jackson versus Mahomes because Baltimore is going to play Kansas City this season. So here's my question to you. I think this is really interesting. Like I'm pretty sure this doesn't happen. But Sal, you talked to Mike North about the scheduling process. Look,
by the way, the Packers Chiefs game was the 17th game. It's on the schedule because of the added game.
And
they aren't in the normal rotation.
That's a beautiful game. I mean, you would talk. Yes, I mean, you could talk about Sunday Night Football in Week One.
Yeah, sure.
So if you're the league, does Roger Goodell pick up the phone and call Mark Murphy, the CEO at Green Bay, and go, look, guys, we're making the schedule, and you're going to be all over the primetime slots. What are you doing with Rodgers? We need to know before Wednesday. Are you trading this guy or not? I'm going to guess it doesn't happen, but what do you do if the NFL and you're the schedule makers and you're not sure whether it's Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers quarterbacking the Packers this season?
Well, that's a good question. Like,
he's traded to Denver, Broncos, Chiefs games automatically go near the top of the list.
This is great because it's actually kind of dovetails a little bit in what I was actually just teasing you, because there's a little bit of this in Peter King's Pro Football Talk column this morning.
It's NBC Sport Football Morning in America. Football Morning
in
America.
Okay, there you go. Thank you very much.
Yep.
So, first of all, no, I do not think Roger Goodell calls the Green Bay Packers and asks them.
I was just kind of laughing at that one. I thought that'd be pretty funny.
Right. I do not think that Howard Katz calls them. He's Mike North's boss, essentially. I don't think Mike North calls them. I don't think anybody from NFL operations, schedule making calls them. However, they absolutely monitor the situation to figure out what's going on. Let me read you, believe it or not, this is actually in Peter King's column this morning, exactly what you asked. Can I read you what he wrote?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. This is a little long paragraph, but here he says.
Hey, I'm here till 10.
Okay, so what to do with the Green Bay games now that Aaron Rodgers is a wild card and no one's sure if he'll play for the Packers this year? This is Peter King writing this morning in his, Football Morning in America. I want to say it right, sorry.
FMIA.
He said it's a tough call. I'm sure Howard Katz and the broadcast team have agonized over it, but I doubt the league is going to relegate the Packers to Lions status. My best guess is it's more likely than not the Packers will be scheduled for their customary national TV exposure, including the primetime games, with a couple of provisos, I guess, provisions.
Provisos.
Yep. Fox will protect the Packers is what his prediction is.
Huh.
Fox will protect the Packers in some doubleheader windows with some strong early window games so that if in November, if the Packers are 1-8 with Jordan Love going at quarterback, they'll have a decent backup game to switch to a doubleheader window the week before the game.
That makes sense. Sure. Yeah.
Number two, his other prediction. The league has flex scheduling. This makes a lot of sense, Howard.
Yep.
For NBC in weeks 11 through 17. So wouldn't it make sense if the league wanted to maximize Green Bay in primetime to schedule one or two Packers games between weeks 11 and 17, knowing that if Rodgers isn't playing and they're awful,
they flex it out.
They can move out of that.
And I have a question before you continue any further, because I couldn't remember. The Monday Night Football flexing, is that now or is that when the new TV deal kicks in 2023?
I think it's not until 2023. I have to look. It's a good question. Let me check.
I'm going to check my notes. I actually still have my notes from your Mike North interview. Because I was thinking, right, if you're worried about Green Bay, you can do what you mentioned with Sunday night. You can always schedule them and flex them out after week 11. Is it possible?
No, I think it's this year.
You could flex. You could schedule Green Bay maybe for some 1 o'clock games, but flex them into a Monday night ESPN slot if they don't trade Rodgers.
You're hedging your bets basically.
Rather than put them in a whole bunch of night games and then oh goodness they're bad and Jordan Love is playing, you could always flex them into a Monday night, get them into primetime more often, right? You could move them.
I think it's the reverse here, what they're saying. We're going to go with the assumption that Rodgers is playing for them, and then we'll get him out of there. I think it's what he's saying. But yes, they could essentially do that, which is let's not schedule them, but move them in. Because how do you know? Maybe there's a game where they don't want to get off. Like, it's a great game that we don't want to. Wouldn't you rather have them there and then move away from them than force another game off that might already be intriguing enough?
Yeah. I think it's cool. I actually do think it would be great if like Goodell called and said, listen, if you're going to trade him, you got to do it by Wednesday night. You know, or by Tuesday. Trade him now because we need lead time to get the schedule together, and you're killing us, Green Bay. Because imagine if he's traded to Denver. I know you're right, Sal. I'm sure they don't make that phone call. But imagine if he is traded to Denver. Now, I mean, those games against the Broncos are fantastic television. Mahomes v. Rodgers in Denver. I mean, Denver's they've got some good players. Those would be two games that scream national windows.
I think, just based on my conversations the last 2 years with Mike North, I think the NFL schedule is pretty much done. However, it is still 48 hours, a little more than that, before its release.
Yep.
They could definitely make a change or two if something happened today, right? If Rodgers was traded today, they would change a couple things in the schedule, but I think it's pretty much done. They're probably just dotting I's and crossing T's here in the last day, and then they'll start sending it out to teams. They can't go in the assumption that Rodgers is not going to be there unless they were somehow told, which I don't think is going to happen.
Probably wouldn't.
So I think they go and operate what Peter King said, which is, hey, it's Green Bay, it's Aaron Rodgers, but let's put him in spots where we can get out of it if we need to. You know, I don't think you start off with not having them on and then put them in there, because then you could be really in a tight spot saying, well, there's already a game there. Like, why? We just kind of put ourselves in a corner. There's already a really good game in that week that we don't want to get out of now.
I'll tell you what, when we get back, you teased the thing about the Bills. You want to get to that when we get back? Bills to Tampa?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll do that on the other side.
Another high-profile media member saying that he thinks it could very well be Bills at Bucks opening the season on that Thursday night week one game.
803-0550. Sabre fans, how you feel now going into the offseason? Did the play under Granato restore any faith for you? We can get into that. And if you want to chime in on football or whatever else, this is another topic you want to bring up, that's great. Grab a line, join us this morning. Ryan Wilson from CBSSports.com coming up at 8. He ranked everybody's draft class. We'll get into that. Top of the hour, WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
First of all, to be part of the organization, the Sabres, and honored to have the position of being in charge to make the decisions I've had to make. That in itself is a lot to be proud of. You have a job like this, and then you're surrounded by good people, good players. And as a coach, you have nothing if you can't push guys. I really felt the best thing was to be able to push guys. They wanted more. They felt they could give more, and they had more within themselves. That was something very nice and very special to have as a coach.
That is interim coach Don Granato, who will speak with the media Wednesday as part of the whole 3 days of locker cleanout. 803-0550. We've been talking Sabres. We're getting a little football here. We got a lot more coming up top of the hour. But Sabre fans, you've hit the off season. How are you feeling about the team at this point? Are you feeling any better? Any faith or hope restored after how they played under Don Granato? And you can give us a call on that. Sal teased something about the Bills' schedule, which we've been talking about. The schedule releases Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. Go ahead, Mr. Capaccio.
Well, the Peter King Football Morning in America column we just referenced, talking about Aaron Rodgers and how, you know, the league might play that situation. He also has something just above that. It's a long column. He writes it, but he's got a lot of different things in there. And one of the things he writes about is the schedule. So he says, here's his prediction for the opener, Thursday night football, at the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. As we know, the Bills are one of eight teams on the Buccaneers' home schedule. This is what Peter King writes. Quote, Tampa Bay gets to open at home on Thursday, September 9th, with the 2020 champs beginning 2021 with basically the exact same roster. My prediction, the foe will be either Buffalo or Dallas. Why do I say that? The NFL wants to get off to a strong start after a shaky offseason, and they want a game that will generate buzz in the weeks before the season begins and will be must-see TV to start the season. To schedule the Saints or Bears or Giants here doesn't seem smart because any of them could be a game that's over by halftime. Not so Buffalo or Dallas. The Bills could go to Tampa and win the opener. And the Cowboys, with Dak Prescott leading an explosive offense, would be able to go toe-to-toe with the Arians-Brady offense. We'll see, but those are the two sexiest home foes for the Bucs, and I think one of them will open the NFL's 102nd season. That is Peter King. A growing number of NFL media who believe the Bills are very much, maybe even the most likely team, I think a lot of people believe, to be that team. I do think it comes down to most people believing it's Buffalo or Dallas. I still give the Saints a little bit more, I think, credibility for this because possibly to open the era of post-Drew Brees and possibly with Winston going against his former team. Like, I think that is pretty sexy as well for a lot of people.
I was curious about that when you were reading his comment, right? And I read the portion about the Saints, and I thought, okay, well, so Peter King is writing off the Saints as a bad team this season then. Because included them, like, the Bears, if they're playing a rookie quarterback, the Giants, all right, yeah, those games could be over by halftime. The Saints? I mean, I'm looking at that thinking, is there going to be that big a drop-off because they're going from Brees to Winston that they're just going to get blown out by halftime? And I didn't think the Saints would like drop off the shelf this year. That's my question on that. But here's the big thing, okay? The Bills and Tampa for Thursday night. Every time I hear that, in my head, I hear Mike North tell you, it's Thursday night in week one. What the hell are we going to burn a good game for? Everybody's watching. Mm-hmm. I would honestly pick Dallas because, although, again, to the league's concept of eyes will be on this game, no matter what, because it's the opener, I don't think you burn a Bills game for that matter. You might not burn Dallas because everybody loves Dallas, right? But if you're asking me, I do not use the Bills Bucks on the opener for Thursday night. I save that. Save that for a Sunday nighter. Save it for a Monday nighter. Save it for a Sunday at 4:25. Everybody's watching the first game of the year. Why do I need to put that game in there?
No, I agree. I've always said this too, which is there's a floor for that game for ratings, right? We don't need to get eyeballs there. They're going to be there.
Yeah.
People are going to watch the game, right? I mean, it's just it doesn't matter. But I understand some of the sentiment he's saying, which is, hey, you want to get off to a good start, hit the ground running. Yeah. Like this is, yeah, sure, it's a marathon, but it's kind of a sprint in this particular. Like you want this thing to go and go. Yes, let's go. We are off and running. Boom. And you don't want a boring game there. And if the league feels in any sense that any of those games these teams will be boring, it's kind of like, imagine Friday morning. This is what you have to think about. You come on the radio, people go on NFL Network, ESPN, all the talking heads, people like us, and we go, yeah, that game kind of sucked last night.
Yeah.
But if you start off week one and go, wow, what a great way for the NFL to open the season, that's what they want.
Yeah. Well, I only need one half of a good game because if the Bills aren't playing, I'm going to bed at 10 o'clock. I mean, I'm not.
Not if it's the Bills.
I do. Right. That's what I'm saying. If the Bills aren't playing, I don't see a complete Thursday night football game. Unless it's like.
Right.
Whatever that crazy. Was it Rams, Chiefs, whatever game it was a few years ago was a night game. It was like 54-51. I'm going to bed at halftime. So, yeah, I just keep hearing that. And I get what they're saying. You don't want a blowout. Yeah, forget the Bears, forget the Giants. I wouldn't throw out New Orleans in that same group as he did with Chicago and the Giants. I think a New Orleans, it's a division game. It is sure there if you care about the storyline of Winston back in Tampa against his former team, I think that is an appealing game for a Thursday night opener. 803-0550. We will keep our theme of football when we get back. We'll talk a little bit more about draft classes. Ryan Wilson from CBSSports.com is on the way in a moment on WGR.